As you said, I'm Dina Chisholm. I am faculty in the College of Medicine at The Ohio State University and a researcher in the Center for Innovation and Pediatric Practice at Nationwide Children's Hospital. And this is a life course presentation, and I'm going first because I'm talking about the youngest group of people we're going to focus on in this presentation, which is adolescents and young adults. And sometimes this population gets lost in the shuffle because people think of them as children and think of them as people who are going to get information from other sources and not seeking information on their own. But really, this is, as our keynote speaker mentioned yesterday, one of those times of passage where people, teens, are starting to make their own health decisions, starting to seek their own health information, starting to make decisions independent of their parents and their doctors and looking more towards their peers and other types of information sources. So teens get health information from a lot of places. You know, they get it from their parents and their doctors and their peers and their teachers and their school nurses. I'm going to talk mostly about e-health and online sources of information, and particularly about teens' use of the internet for disease management in teens with chronic illness, and about young adult use of online health information across the board. So I want to start off just by looking at some of the trends in online activity for teens. This is data from the Pew Internet and American Life survey. And what you can see is that we aren't seeing a lot of change over time in how teens are using the internet for most purposes. So you can see the green line represents news, the blue line represents shopping, the red line represents health search. And health search has been pretty stable at around 30% over the past decade, which means we, as public health people who want to use the internet as a way to reach teens, have an opportunity to create some growth in an area that hasn't seen a lot of growth. When you look more specifically at that 30%, most recent data from 2009 from that same Pew survey shows that about 31% of teens go online for health information on health, dieting, or physical fitness activity, and that it's more common in older teens and more common in girls. When you look at searching for sensitive health information, so that's things like substance use, depression, sexual activity, it's about 17%, and again, more common in older teens and in girls. So what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about is a study that we did at Nationwide Children's that was funded by the National Institutes on Child Health and Human Development, looking specifically at how teens with chronic disease use online health information to support their disease management activities. And one of the things we were interested in focusing on was the idea of health literacy as a predictor of use of online health information. So health literacy is commonly defined as the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand health information and services needed to make appropriate healthcare decisions. So it's not just can they read health-related words, but it's can they find information and can they apply that information, can they evaluate that information to make decisions about what they should be doing for their health. And why this is important, particularly in teens with chronic illness, is that these teens are entering a transition from having their parents fill all their prescriptions and schedule all their doctor's appointments and make sure they have an inhaler with them and make sure they're testing their glucose, to starting to do more and more of those things themselves. Unfortunately, adolescence also tends to be a time of poor disease management. That transition doesn't generally hand off particularly well. The health information that teens need to be able to manage their own health is frequently written in complex language that is beyond their understanding, and we believe that health literacy is a factor in teens' ability to utilize online health information, and that's what sort of kicked off this project. So in this study, we started with a population of teens aged 13 to 18 who were seen in an asthma or diabetes specialty clinic at Nationwide Children's Hospital during our study period. Our sample size was 180. It was supposed to be 90 asthmatic children and 90 children with diabetes, but our last teen with diabetes came in with their twin brother and said, can he be in the study too? So I ended up with 91 diabetics and 89 asthma children. What we did in the study was we had, when they came in for a study visit that opened with a health literacy assessment, we used the test of functional health literacy, and I'm not going to get into all of the details around that measurement piece because that's not what we're focused on. And then some questionnaires on disease knowledge and disease management behaviors. Then we gave them information sheets that had information on different health-related websites, and it was broken up into three categories. There were general health websites, stuff like WebMD that would have general health information. There were teen-specific general health websites. So these are teen websites that are targeted at teens but have general health information. And then there were asthma or diabetes specific sites depending on what condition made the youth eligible for the study. After we gave them that, we had a questionnaire on how likely are you to use one of these now that we've told you about all these really cool, great resources out there. And we also asked them about their attitudes towards technology and health information in general. And then we did a 3-month follow-up call where we assessed use of the internet for health information and the sites we gave them specifically. So we ended up, like I said, with 180 teens. They were a little skewed towards the younger, split halfway in gender, and about 72% were white. The rest were non-white. Our reading levels, two-thirds were at high school level, which all of our participants were at high school level, so one-third were below that. Using the test of functional health literacy as our primary health literacy measure, about 92% were listed as having adequate health literacy. When we broke that down by demographics, though, what we saw was girls had slightly higher health literacy, the older teens had slightly higher health literacy, but the place where we saw a statistically significant difference was lower health literacy in our black population. And that's actually led to another big study that's just underway looking more detailed at disparities in health literacy. But when we looked at the relationship between health literacy and internet use, what we saw, just to orient you, the blue bar is adequate health literacy teens in our study, so with asthma or diabetes. The green is less than adequate health literacy with asthma or diabetes. And the purple is the general population. We use the same questions as the Pew Internet and American Life, so we use that as our comparative group. So you can see that in terms of just using the internet, health literacy or having asthma and diabetes didn't really make a difference. All of them were around the same level of use of the internet and around the same level of use of the internet on a daily basis. So where we did start to see a difference, though, was in health information seeking. So you can see that the teens with asthma or diabetes, regardless of their health literacy, were more likely to be seeking health information online than the general population teens. In fact, we were trending towards the less than adequate population being more likely to look for information online. And similarly with the sensitive health information seeking question, which was interesting because it made us start to wonder, are teens with lower health literacy more likely to seek information online because they aren't comfortable having those conversations with their docs because they're not sure they understand, because they had that conversation, they didn't understand what they got, so they went to the internet to try to get some additional clarification. But we're looking to drill down into that a little further to see why that looks like a population that's more focused on using. When we looked at the intent to use online resources, most of the participants responded that they might use one of the sites that we talked to them occasionally for a specific need. And about 20% said that they thought they might use them regularly. And when we looked at the relationship between intent to use and health literacy, we saw that higher health literacy scores were associated with higher intent to use. So you saw much higher scores in the people who said use occasionally or use regularly compared to those who said they wouldn't use it at all or only use it once or twice, which was also kind of interesting because when we looked at this slide, we saw that health literacy really didn't differ for internet use or even health information seeking, but clearly does differ when you talk about willingness to use something regularly, to be a committed user of a specific website. So when we did our 3-month follow-up, what we saw was that about 38% didn't use any of the things on our sheet. We called them, they said, no, I didn't touch it. About 32% said they used it once or twice, and 30% said they used it more often than that. And when we looked at the relationship between intent, we were happy to see that while it's not perfect, of course, the people with higher reported intent had higher documented use on the follow-up. So what we did when we followed them up is we did a semi-structured interview and asked them a lot of questions about, okay, so did you use it, but what kept you from using it? And if you did use it and liked it, what's keeping you using it? So when we looked at the barriers to use, what we saw were four primary sort of categories of responses. One was lack of computer or internet access. So even though most of the kids, when we asked them, said they used the internet regularly, when we said, why didn't you use the sites that we talked about, they said, well, I don't really use the computer in the summer, or my internet was turned off over the last couple of months because we didn't pay the bill. There was a whole list of reasons why they said they couldn't access it at the time that we were following up. A lack of interest, and some of this lack of interest sort of verges into the realm of denial. So some of the quotes we got from teens were, they need more interesting facts instead of boring ones, and I already know all of them. There was nothing I was interested in, it was all medical stuff, or I didn't learn anything I didn't already know, and I don't want to deal with diabetes. So again, sort of a mix of denial couched in the language of lack of interest. Busy, so, oh, I have gymnastics, I have school, I have too much homework. And then the least common response that we did see was that they had struggles with understanding the content. I didn't understand it, or it confused me. When we asked them about promoters of use, what things made you want to use the websites, what we saw were things like they liked the functionality, it was easy to navigate, it did what it was supposed to do, that they felt like there was a perceived value to using the website. You know, I'm still trying to control my asthma, still having problems finding a way to control it, or because it's really informational. So some people felt like there was value to what they were doing. They liked the perceived social support, so I liked the discussions, can see what other teens are thinking. I like to find people in stories with people like me. So there was a feeling that people who got social support from the sites were more likely to continue using them. That they believed that the new information would be added. So the idea that they went to the site once and when they went back again, there was something different there which would make them want to go back again. So things are updated often to see if I find new information, to see if they have more research instead of just my opinion. And then perceived fun or cool factors. One of the websites that they looked at had a virtual mall where you kind of went into different stores to get different types of information. So I really like the virtual thing, going through stores. They have good tips and stuff, had quizzes, thought it was really neat. So some of the bells and whistles were also things that were associated with willingness to continue use. So the conclusions of that study were that health literacy-wise, we generally had high health literacy rates, but we did note some racial disparities that we're doing follow-up research on, that a significant portion of teens with chronic conditions have searched the internet for health information, even those with health literacy limitations. This does lead us to one concern, though, or maybe multiple concerns, which is, do they understand what they're finding? Are they appropriately evaluating the quality of the information that they're finding? Can they use it effectively? We know they're looking for it, is all we were able to know for sure out of this. That willingness to try new health websites and become committed users are significantly associated with health literacy and with perceptions of usefulness, and that anecdotally, teens preferred sites that were geared directly towards them, that were visually interesting, and that had cool new information and cool features. So I'm out of time, but I just want to do one more slide, and I promise I won't run over. One of the things I wanted to look at is adolescence. A lot of us kind of think of it as teens, but it really does run into the early 20s in terms of that developmental stage. So one of the things I wanted to share also was some information about how young adults are using e-health. And just wanted to share with you that about 84% of young adults are using online health information. The most common behavior is search, followed by tracking symptoms, doing health-related activities on social media, and doing health-related activities on the phone. And how that compares to our adults, as opposed to our young adults, is that search is about the same and use of e-health overall is about the same, but our young adults are more likely to do things like track symptoms online, do health activities on social media, and do health activities on the phone. So that's just an extra piece of analysis I did because I thought I had extra time, which I didn't, but that's what I have, and thank you.